Welcome back, guys. Today on the Dirt Shed Show, we're going to be discussing, are mountain bikers too vain, and are they letting form get in the way of function? That's right, guys. Today on the Dirt Shed Show, I am joined by none other than Adam Scroxton of The Tech Show. Welcome on. This is your first show. How's it going?
It is. I'm loving being on this side of the room, to be honest. Breath of fresh air.
Exactly. And today, speaking of fresh air, I have a pretty interesting topic for us to discuss. It comes off the back of James's rear mudguard video. Ooh. And obviously, those do not look great. But in terms of function, they're amazing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So that got me thinking, are mountain bikers getting too vain? And I know myself, I am definitely guilty of this. I care way too much about how stuff looks. Yeah. As opposed to necessarily whether it's the best. So, what are your thoughts on this?
So, I think using mudguards is a really good example of this. They obviously serve a function which is really useful to us at the minute. Like, particularly here in the UK, it's just been wet for like the last
absolutely
3 weeks.
Stinking.
Like, it's hideous. But if it's a product that's going to stop you getting cold and wet, it's going to prolong the life of your bike because it's not going to let grit and moisture sort of ingress into, particularly on a full sus, ingress into bearings and hard to reach places, then I don't see why that's an issue.
I agree. I think rear mudguards are a prime one for me. Obviously on the front mudguard, even with that, I'm really specific about what I want. I'm slightly more accepting of it, but the rear mudguard for me is just a killer. I look at it and I think it just reminds me of like the pannier racks that people put on like city bikes, and I'm like, that belongs on a city bike and I should not be putting that on my mountain bike. But in terms of exactly that, in terms of vision, in terms of keeping nice and dry when you're riding, it's like if you get wet, you get cold quickly and then you want to end your ride. Whereas if you're nice and dry, you can just keep riding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, on that front, I'm definitely vain and I'm definitely talking about the want for kind of feeling fashionable, I guess, rather than the function.
Yeah.
That brings me nicely onto the Rotoguard video, and it's in the same vein as the rear mudguard. Super cool piece of kit and definitely has its place, especially, like you say, in the Northern Hemisphere, it gets so wet.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, you need your brakes and you want them to work. Yep. You do not want the panic levers to not work when you need them. So why would we not run them?
Like, I mean, like, the product itself, if it's just helping keep your brakes in that sort of better operating temperature window, stops them getting like covered in crud and sort of ultimately wearing your brakes out even quicker, then it's just going to improve your winter riding experience. So yeah, again, why wouldn't you want to run them?
I think it's a case of like, we have such an image as a community of what a mountain bike and what a mountain biker should look like.
Yeah.
And it's super hard for anyone who's innovating products or they're creating new kind of even just the style of a bike. Mm. It gets judged so heavily on how it looks as opposed to how it performs. And yeah, I mean, maybe we are just vain as a community. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, like I say, I'm not calling anyone out specifically, probably more myself than anyone, but it definitely does feel like there are occasions where we've, you know, ignored potential upgrades and performance upgrades that we could add to our bikes just because of how they look.
Yeah.
And then on the clothing side of things, that's another one. You know, white clothing out on mountain bikes is mental. You brought up shoes, right?
Yeah, like white shoes is a thing. Why is white shoes a thing?
Because they're so cool.
But I might be being a bit too specific with using like our location as an example, but they're just getting filthy. And it's like, all shoes end up the same colour this time of year anyway.
Yeah.
But white shoes, just, like, even in the summer, they're just really hard to keep clean.
I had the old Shimano, I think they were the DXs. And they were so cool. They were like white shoes with like these black bits on them. And they were so cool. And I remember seeing all the pros at the race and I was like, I want some of those because that means I'm fast. And I was like, right, go ahead. But like you say, completely ridiculous because the minute you did a run, they were covered in mud and you're like, well, why would you not just have black ones?
It's like, I know I'm a fiend for full black kit, full black bike.
Yeah.
And again, it's going to get as dirty as the white bike, but I just think after prolonged use, it just looks better still.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that moves me on to the kind of, I guess, slightly more serious topic on this, and that is protection.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, the sport we do is super dangerous and, you know, you want to wear the right protection. So that's really important. Mm. But I myself am really bad for not wearing necessarily the right protection, or not wearing enough protection, purely because of, one, how it looks, but also I know there is a comfort thing in terms of I like to be able to manoeuvre, and I think it's just like I've got used to not wearing it now, but I definitely do think, like, I'm not going to wear a back protector with a t-shirt because I just think I look like a hunchback. And the reality is I need to not care about that because,
100%.
You know, you have a crash and you hit your back, like, you're going to be thanking the Lord that you were wearing that.
Yeah. So when we did our video at Four Riders Bike Park, I rocked up, I think even the night before, I was like, do I need to bring a full face?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. You're like, yes, you know what you're getting yourself into. So we got there, you very kindly lent me your back protector for the day.
Yeah.
And even just having that on, it just elevated that sort of, I wouldn't call it like bubble wrapping by any means, but that sort of window I was willing to sort of ride in. You just feel more protected and more willing to, give that feature a go.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think it's just a case of maybe we just need to get more used to it, and it needs to... I remember, like, we were discussing, like, pressure suits when we were younger.
Yeah.
You used to wear these massive pressure suits. Mm. Now, they didn't look cool, but actually, when you think about it, that really is the ultimate form of protection. Yeah. MotoGP, they wear full suits that all have the padding built into their suits and things like that. And I think we are seeing that now, especially in racing, we are seeing trousers and jerseys with built-in protectors built into it to increase comfort, but also make sure you're riding the correct protection. But that a lot of it is driven by actual UCI rules rather than... I think if you gave riders a choice, they wouldn't wear them.
Yeah.
Which, that's what we need to kind of confront, I think, as a community, is... let's stop necessarily always worrying about what's cool, and sometimes let's just try and embrace it for what it is, because it's going to make us better riders. It's also going to keep us safer. And I think that's the one.
Again, it kind of boils down to, we're all out to ride mountain bikes, have a good time. And if someone's more comfortable doing that because they're in a full face when everyone else is in a like half shell trail lid, that's fine. Let them do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, oh, we're all doing this, so you've got to do this. It's, however you feel comfortable riding your bike, do it.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, one more example for you guys, and I think that this is one that will get the community stirred, is the half-face and full-face debate, but also the half-face with goggles.
Again.
Makes complete sense, right? 100%. Half-face with goggles, it maximises your vision.
Yep.
And... gives you lots of protection. But then there's the flip side argument saying, well, why would we ever ride in trail lids?
Yeah.
And this doesn't apply. I'm talking very much from a gravity-fed side of things, but in cross-country, it's the same. It's like cross-country riders wear no protection, no knee pads. Now, knee pads these days, you can get some really, really thin ones that give you really good protection, but because of the look...
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't wear them. Like, they're perfectly comfortable for a day on the XC bike. And if you fall off, I can guarantee you fall off, put your knee down, when you have no knee protection, you're going to regret it. So, I do think that as a community, we are vain.
Yeah.
Let's face
100%.
It.
100%. Yeah.
Anyway, let us know in the comments below, what do you guys think? Do you think we're too vain, or do you think we are just vain enough and we all just need to look cool because mountain biking's cool? Let us know in the comments below. Right. Onto the news, and we're fairly light on the news this week, but we do have a few topics to talk about. Deviate have followed the industry trend of going bust and then being re-bought back by the owners. It's really sad to see. I really like Deviate as a brand.
I think
they're
well.
Really, really cool. And I really hope that they can work out a way to kind of survive and go on. Mm. But nonetheless, they have followed the YT trend that seems to be happening.
Yeah, I think owner Ben Jones, he's done it with the intention of trying to support existing customers and retailers. Essentially, he's bought the assets of it.
He's done the right thing, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The right thing.
Yeah.
But I do hope that they come back strong soon enough. And then, Adam, what else have we got?
So, Okko, it's essentially Orbea's sort of finishing kit parts sort of arm. They've dropped a really cool video with the FMD Orbea race team. Essentially, it's a little bit of an insight into how they've develop the wheel, and then how it's basically gone in this season, which, to be honest, has been quite successful for him. So
it has indeed.
The Rallon DH winning on debut, and then
just being rad as well.
And that.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's definitely very cool, and it's a very cool new product they've dropped.
Yeah.
Right, that brings us nicely onto competition time. And because it is Christmas, well, at least Christmas month, we have some very cool competitions running. So first up, before we get into that, we have the winners of the Topeak Prize.
You
guys, your names are up on screen now. To get in touch with us on Insta, drop us a DM, or on Facebook, drop us a message with your details, and we will send out your prizes.
Yeah, very nice. And on that note, competitions aren't over. We've got another one.
We do.
So this one's from our partner FSA. I've got the details on my screen. So you can enter between the 9th and the 19th of December to win one Afterburner i27 wheel set. So we're going to put the link down below underneath the video. Go and check it out, because new wheels are always cool.
They are very cool. And the winners will be announced on the 23rd of December. So perfectly in time for Christmas.
And speaking of Christmas, there's still time to make the most of the amazing discounts on our store at the minute. So final shipping dates are on screen now. So get your orders in and you'll get them before the big day.
This is a cool part of the show. This is one of my favourite bits of the show. We have things we like this week.
Nice.
Now, I have some pretty cool ones. You're going to learn a little bit about me with this, but I have some pretty cool ones. So first up, we have Wes Sens. This kid is ridiculous. He's all over my Instagram, and it makes me like, it blows my mind, but it also makes me really jealous at the same time. I'm like, I wish I had those skills. It's unbelievable. So he's out in Utah, I watched him do a video of Remy Metallier, who I've obviously ridden with as well, and he's insanely skilled, and Wes is putting Remy Metallier through his paces out in Utah at the Rampage destination.
11 years old as well.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I did that video about how capable kids' bikes are, and also then the kids of today.
Yep.
And what better example than this? It's unbelievable. I mean, would you send that?
It's sort of forwards. I'd contemplate it, whether I'd stick the landing or not.
I reckon I could get you off here. Having us done our jump video, I reckon I could get you off it. But fair play to him. At 11 years old, that is insane. And then next up, this isn't bikes.
Yep.
This isn't bikes, but this is so cool. So I'm very into my snowboarding, and this is X Games Aspen.
Mm.
And Hiroto Ogiwara, which I'm sure I've said that wrong, but he did a 23:40. 23:40.
How many rotations is that?
A lot. I mean, just a helicopter, isn't it, at that point?
Yeah.
Unbelievable scenes. I just wonder, where will it end?
It depends how big you make the jump.
That unbelievable. Anyway, next up, I know you have one for me.
Yeah, so Ryder I've followed for a little bit, and he does, well, currently rides for DV8, so we'll see how that goes. But Matthew Fairbrother's just done a post about sort of wrapping up his El Salvador trip and saying it's much more than just riding bikes.
Yeah.
There's a lot more sort of like cultural immersion, and that's where bikes are cool. So yes, that is a very capable bike that can pedal uphill, pedal down like the gnarliest ascents.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just a tool for exploring as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in awe of some of his adventures. Mm. He does, I mean, you have to have the legs for it. I'm not sure I've got the legs that he does, but some of his adventures and some of the places that he goes on his bike and he just keeps pedaling. I mean, it's unbelievable. But yeah, obviously a highly skilled rider as well, raced the World Cup circuit and, you know,
well, literally rode the World Cup.
Yeah, literally, right? So he's an unbelievable rider.
Yeah.
Some of his more recent adventures, amazing. And El Salvador looks like a wicked place.
So cool.
Nice. Well, that rounds out the things we like this week.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the caption contest?
Let's go to the caption contest.
Let's do it. Okay, on to the caption contest.
Yep.
So last week's photo was this of James and his brother looking very cold in the back of their van after what was a very wet ride in South Wales. Sorry there, it's a bit of a tongue twister. First up, we had Jason True 18. After a nice long ride, it's always nice to warm up in the back of the van.
Not wrong.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Very good. Duncan Lloyd, we've got, yes, officer, we are in the back of a vehicle on a secluded country spot. Honestly, we are mountain bikers.
Yeah, knowing James's brother, they probably were getting up to some mischief. So, yeah, it's probably adequate as well. Finally, we have MTB Lifer. What happens in the van stays in the van. Yeah, I'm not going to say too much more about that one.
Right, so which one am I picking then? So I'm going to go with Duncan on this one. So, yes, officer, we are in the back of a van on a secluded country spot. Honestly, we are mountain bikers. So,
well done, Duncan. You have won a voucher for £50 to spend in the GMBN store. To get in touch and get that prize sent out to you, slide into our DMs and or send us a Facebook message. And this week's caption contest photo is this. James, obviously, in his rear mud fender, getting pretty loose and ending up in the mud. But drop us a caption contest and you could be in with a chance of winning a £50 prize voucher.
Nice. Berg, we're on to the bike vault now and I'm actually quite excited because we've not got one of these on the tech show. So
do you get to use this?
I get to use that.
You know what you're doing?
I think I do.
So
let's get to it.
Yeah, the super nice bell. Right, okay, first up we have Anthony van der Veen with... This is my newest bike, just got the frame off of the Pro Closet, built out with parts, stripped off my old frame, loving it so far, really like this picture, so figured I'd share it with you guys. Picture taken outside Nevada City, CA, California. Mm. It's very nice, I love it. It's I love the Norco, it's a Norco Sight, I think?
Yeah, or is it an Optic?
Maybe an Optic, it looks a bit more lightweight, doesn't it?
I had a go on one of those last year.
Did you like it?
Yeah, quite cool.
Wicked.
Very cool bike.
It's drive side as well, so Rich would be very happy about that. What are we saying, Adam?
I'm going to give it a nice.
Okay, nice. I mean, yeah, it's a nice bike, but yeah, you're in charge. Yes. Nice. Okay, on to the next one. This is from Craig Best. So this is a lovely looking Specialized Status.
Mm.
It simply says, new bike day, Specialized Status. I mean, everyone loves new bike day, don't they?
Yeah.
What are you saying? I love that rust colour. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that workshop garage space does actually look quite nice and roomy. I'm a bit envious of it.
The beer fridge as well, I like it.
Stickers as well. Love a sticker bomb. Again, I think I'm just going to go nice.
Nice. Oh, he's being ruthless, guys. Ruthless. Right, on to the next one. We have... Who do we have, Adam?
We have got Kirk. Great ride at local bike park, Lock 4 in Gallatin, TN. I'm going to assume that's Tennessee.
Yeah.
What have we got? That looks like a YT.
Oh, it is an e-bike, but a very cool looking one. I love autumnal photos, don't you? Look at the leaves. It looks cool. And it is super clean. That white colour is amazing. I mean, even got matching red decals for the forks.
And it matched the pedals.
Yeah.
I mean, it even kind of goes with the graphics on the
Ergon grips, Crank Brothers, wheels. It's all looking nice.
Got a good choice, but I'm going to go super nice on that. I know it's an e-bike, but...
Go on.
There we go.
Very nice. Right, on to... Right, we have a...
Is it the Habit 2?
It is the Habit 2.
With he's given us the spec list here. So, SRAM Eagle drivetrain, Rockdrop Pike Select Deluxe rear shock, DT Swiss wheels, SRAM brakes, and he's done some upgrades to it. So, yeah, the rear wheel's been upgraded after the other one imploded by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And then he's upgraded the discs to the larger HS2 ones, which, yeah.
Like, I won't lie, I've been influenced. Josh Bryceland made me fall in love with these bikes. Yeah. He made them look so cool, and he hits loads of dirt jumps on them.
He was saying his friend was taking the mickey a little bit because it's a bit bling, but I think that's been done quite in the same way the YT was.
Quite tastefully, isn't it?
Been super nice.
Godless. Well, he's done it. There we go. Right, next up we have Andrew C with it's a dirt jumper. I'm here for it.
A very clean dirt jumper.
It is very clean. That is a Specialized P4. Now these things are sick. So I believe the P4 is a 27.5-inch wheel.
Okay.
So yeah, it's quite different. That normally we're used to seeing 26-inch wheels. But I reckon that would ride amazingly over dirt jumps. Nice. It'd be really, really smooth. You carry rolling speed. I think one of the hardest things, certainly as like a I'm not a professional dirt jumper by any by any standards, but one of the really cool things with the 27.5, or one of the hardest things with 26 inch wheels, is carrying speed, and having the 27.5s is just going to help with that. So it's going to help you get through those lines and then just enjoy it more. Very, very clean looking bike, and I love the tan wool tires. That is always a...
that got a half link chain on it as well.
I don't know enough about chains.
No, but it's really cool. It's like the track chain on my commute fixie.
It's very cool. Yeah. I'm gonna give it a very super nice. Right.
And then,
last but not least, we have Adam.
We've got Michael with his 2022 Yeti Arc. Ooh. Yes, with a 130 Fox 34, SRAM XO, RockShox Reverb.
That is bling.
Yeah, it's matte black.
Yeah,
yes.
Go on. Oh, and the view behind it is unbelievable.
I mean, the one behind the dirt jump bike reminded me a lot of Girona.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun riding out there.
It was. That is a speed dealer of a bike, I reckon.
Looks like a bit of me, if I'm honest.
I need to get on hardtail.
Yeah.
I've not ridden enough of them.
No. I've just sort of taken on a winter? Just an XC hardtail, and it's an absolute rocket ship.
Yeah, it's definitely something I need to ride a bit more of. But anyway, maybe that's a future video to be had. Right, that brings us nicely on to what's coming up next week, Adam.
So, we've got to be a little bit tight-lipped on this, because we've got some exciting videos coming up from the world of racing, and everything's just a little bit hush-hush at the moment.
We do, don't we? We have to be a little bit quiet. Embargoes and all that lot. But you guys are in for a treat for sure. Anyway, that is quite enough from Adam and I here at the Dirt Shed Show. Adam, thank you so much for coming on. It's been wicked to have you. Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys, if you've enjoyed this video. And also, what I'd really like to hear from you is what you'd like to see from us coming into next year. So drop us in the comments below some of the videos you would like to see, and I'll catch you next week.